Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Let's pray. What an honor it is to be here this morning. Can we have our hands open? If you want to receive, if you don't want to receive, that's fine. Anybody who doesn't want to receive, well, we will be praying for those later. Kidding. Let's just open our hands. Whew. Your presence is so tangible. We just say, come. Come afresh. Jesus, we love you. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and touch us. Touch us tonight. Touch us. If you want to touch, just say, yeah, touch me, Lord. Touch us. Infuse us. Transform us. We surrender. We surrender it all to you. The whole week, this morning, everything, we say, we are here. Present, ready, expectant to see, feel, and encounter you move afresh. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Use me to break open the word. Help each one of us to receive the word. And may we never be the same again. Just say this, I receive that for myself. In Jesus' name, amen. High five somebody, grab a seat. Don't go quiet. Pastor Cherie, as I was in worship, I was disturbed by Holy Spirit. And he gave me a vision. I saw keys. I saw the master of keys was walking from chamber to chamber, turning the keys and opening these huge wooden doors that seemed to have never been opened before. What I didn't realize was that the master of the keys was actually unlocking new levels of glory. What I didn't notice is that these were levels that hadn't been seen before, they hadn't been felt before, they hadn't been encountered before. These were new levels. The significance of Smith Wigglesworth at the beginning of this church and the 100-year celebration, there is a new now. It's not coming, there's a new now. We cannot be moved by what we hear, we cannot be moved by what we see, we cannot be moved by what we feel. That's all carnal. We need to be moved by Holy Spirit, because he is the one who is here to be with us. But I also want to mention this, and I really believe this is from God, that with the unlocking of these massive chambers came the releasing of prisoners, in inverted commas. Prisoners, this house has been a house where people have found freedom physically and spiritually. But even these new levels of glory, these new levels brought new levels of freedom. So much so, and I declare and I prophesy this tonight, that people who have been traumatized for years, even from childbirth, people who have been walking with sicknesses from childbirth, people who have not been able to live a normal life, will walk into this house one way and walk out free. New levels. He's calling the church. And I'm speaking to Pastor Cherie because she's location pastor. He's calling the church. Every single person here. Everybody who believes in Jesus. He's calling the church. The believers to stand and be ready. To press in and persevere. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's a good start. Just a little bit of a hijack there. As you know, it's Pentecost. It's the day that changed the church forever, the early church, and it still transforms our lives today. This year marks 100 years that this church, Pneuma Church, has celebrated Pentecost. Pentecost services here at Pneuma. Today we celebrated the very first Pentecost service at Pneuma East. And it was fire. There was fire. Lives were touched, lives were changed. We had gold dust. We had oil on hands, dripping from hands. We had thick oil on a lady from, I think she's from Korea. I don't know if you're ready. Are you ready? Because I reckon it's going to happen again. Because that's what I asked Holy Spirit to do. Not only that, but more. He is the God of signs and wonders. Oil? You wonder. You wonder where that comes from? Gold dust? You wonder where that comes from? He's a God of signs and wonders. So be expectant. Last week, we also started a series, a theme, discipleship. And of course, we did that at Pneuma East as well. And I'm just going to do a little bit of a recap before I get into tonight's message. But Apostle Mark, he noted what Jesus said as he called his very first disciples. Yes, this does have to do with Pentecost. Follow where I'm going. Mark 1, 16 to 20. Passion Translation says, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Lake of Galilee, he noticed two brothers fishing, Simon and Andrew. He watched them as they were casting their nets into the sea and said to them, come, follow me. That's significant. If you've got your Bibles here, which you should do, we're all students of the Word, come, follow me needs to be underlined. And then it says, and I will transform you. Remember the Passion Translation? Come, follow me, and I will transform it. Transform you. The transformation happens by Jesus when you follow him. I'll transform you into men who catch people instead of fish. Immediately, everybody say immediately, they dropped their nets and left everything behind to follow Jesus. Walking a little farther, verse 19, Jesus found two other brothers sitting in a boat along with their father, mending their nets. Their names are Jacob and John and their father Zebedee. Jesus immediately walked up to them and invited the two brothers to become his followers. Once Jacob and John dropped their nets, stood up, left their father in the boat, the hired men, and followed Jesus. Discipleship is about leaving, following, and being transformed as you follow him. Simon and Andrew, they left the mending of their nets to follow Jesus. James and John, they leave their father. You got to know, culturally, that was huge to do because they were meant to take the job from their father. They were meant to be the fisherman, the boatman who takes this business further. But they left their father to follow Jesus. The key concept that we see here in discipleship is to leave and follow. Jesus didn't invite people to just follow rules. He invited them to follow him and in the process, be transformed. Discipleship is about growing in sonship. Discipleship is about growing as sons and daughters of God. Discipleship, being disciples. But let's be real. Being a disciple, making disciples can really feel intimidating for pastors, for leaders, and for the normal church. Intimidating, why? Because we ask these questions. How do I follow Jesus consistently when I still mess up? Anybody ask that question? Yep. How do I lead someone when I'm still figuring things out myself? What if I say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing? What if I'm not bold enough? Etc., etc. The good news is this, though. You're never expected to do it alone. You're never expected to do it alone. In fact, you can't do it alone. Actually, if you are doing it alone, you're bluffing yourself. You're not on the right path. You're bluffing yourself. So Jesus knew this, yeah? And that's why he sends Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not just a power boost. He is a person. He's a helper. He's a guide. He is the very power that you and I need for this journey of discipleship, the very power, the only power. Holy Spirit is not a superpower. He's not Batman. He's not Spider-Man. He's not Superman. He's not part of the Transformers. No, no, no. Holy Spirit is a divine power who transforms. He is a divine power. You got to get this. He's a divine power. He's unexplainable yet uncontainable. And guess what? He's our helper. Divine power. Our helper. We have to get this. That is a boom moment. He helps in everything, not just when he feels like it. Everything that we go through, he helps. He is the helper. Capital T, capital H, the helper. He even helps in discipleship, in you and I growing up as sons and daughters of God. I've titled this message, Empowered to Follow. Discipleship, Empowered to Follow. Because you and I are empowered to follow. No more excuses. Empowered to follow the Spirit-led life. Now, our main scripture tonight is not Acts 2, which talks all about, you know, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell. We know that. I have chosen John 14. John 14. Yep. And my reasoning behind that is that we know what Holy Spirit did back then. Yep. But what we have to grasp as the believers and as the church of today is what he wants to do now and what he is busy doing now in your life and my life. Because once the church gets that concept, once the church understands this, guess what? We are going to walk in more in our authority and the power that the Holy Spirit actually brings. Yeah. So let's turn, get our Bibles out. John 14, we're going to read from verse 16. It's going to be on the board for those who have not brought their word. And I'm using the ESV, the English Standard Version. It starts in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say another. Another helper. In the Greek, that is allos, which means another of the same kind. Now, I love the Amplified Bible because the Amplified amplifies everything. But it spells it out. Another helper is a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. I was like, and a standby? So God gives me this revelation. A standby is he's there, and anytime I get in trouble, he steps in. Every time I make the wrong decision, he steps in. He wants to step in. He's a standby. He's ready to go in. But a number of things that we need to know is Holy Spirit is not a lesser replacement. He is the same kind of helper as Jesus. He's equal in nature. He's equal in heart. He's equal in purpose. Holy Spirit is not a backup plan. He is the ongoing presence of Jesus in your life. Holy Spirit is God. He is God. You see, and Jesus wants us to know this. So if Jesus was here, he would want you to hear this. Holy Spirit will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. Jesus is not with us. He's with the Father. But he's like, Holy Spirit will do exactly what I would do if I was here with you. I mean, that is a comforting thought. He says further in Scripture, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Everybody say forever. Now, forever is these crazy Greek words, which basically mean into the age, or for eternity. Where do we ever hear in the Bible about into the age or to the end of this age? Matthew 28, 20, Jesus says, and I will be with you always, even until the end of this age. He's referring to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will be with you forever, forever, until the end of this age. Forever really means that the Holy Spirit doesn't come and the Holy Spirit doesn't go. He comes to stay. You are not borrowing the Holy Spirit. You are hosting him forever. He's not on loan. He's with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you look at, He's with you. He doesn't say, whoa, I'm not going to go with you in this place, or I'm not going to be with you then. No, no, no. He's with you constantly. He's with you forever. If you're in this place today and you are a child of God, you have raised your hand, you have given your life to Jesus, Holy Spirit is in you. You are hosting Him right now. We have to get this, church. We have to get this. And for your information, He doesn't leave you when you mess up. He stays to lead you back. That's a word for somebody. That's a word for somebody. He stays. He stays. Doesn't matter if you're in the pigsty, prodigal son. If there's parents listening tonight and you've got some prodigals at home, doesn't matter if your child's in the pigsty. If they know Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is with them to lead them back. It's a word we need to hear today. He never leaves you. He wants to be with you. So let's continue. John 14, 16, 17, and I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Then verse 26, jump to 26, He says the helper and identifies who the helper is. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. Everybody say all things. And He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Oh, how am I going to remember everything, JJ? How am I going to learn all this stuff? How am I going to cram it all in and know what to do? You don't have to. He's given you a guide. He hasn't given you a manual. He's given you a guide, a person who's with you forever. His name is Holy Spirit. He is your helper. He is with you in every conversation. He is with you every moment of uncertainty. He is with you every moment you step out in faith. He is with you. Can I lift the burden of performance off of you today? Anybody want that burden lifted off? Yeah, some of us front row are nodding their heads. Anybody in the back row? I see your hand. Here it comes. You don't have to have it all together. That's a good word. You see, God uses ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. And He transforms them as they follow Him. Do you realize that the early disciples didn't have it all together? We read about them. They're pretty famous. They're in this book. I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of this book is out there. They're all over in these books. But they were ordinary people. Tax collectors, fishermen, skeptics. Yet, they became world changers. They became world changers. You see, Jesus knew their potential. He knew. How did he know His potential? Well, Psalm 139 says to us that we were knitted in our mother's womb, that He, God, knitted us in our mother's womb, that He wrote all the days of our life in His book before there was one. So before you took your first breath and screamed your little lungs out, guess what? He already knew about you. And He wrote all the days of your life in His book. So Jesus knew that these dudes had a little bit of potential in them. But He also knew, hey, they need a helper. So we ask Father for the helper, and then He says to these dudes, He says, I promise you a helper. Now, can I talk into the helper? Yeah, is that good? You see, this helper comes along on the day of Pentecost, but He didn't tiptoe in. He didn't tiptoe in. Shh, don't laugh. I'm coming in. He didn't blow a soft wind again. No. He came in like a mighty rushing wind. He came in like a mighty rushing wind. Now, can you imagine this? We're in a prayer meeting, yeah? And the next minute you have this Boeing 747 landing on this roof. Yeah? There's a hurricane wind that... Who would freak out? I would freak out. I'd be at the first one out that door. And then on top of this, these dudes have got this little thing dancing around their head called flames, you know? And guess what they do? They're there. This is the Holy Spirit. He comes in, mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire. They freaking out, but he rocks them to their very core. He shakes them because he's the helper that came in, that changed everything, that set history. That is the same Holy Spirit that is still around today for you and for me. Same Holy Spirit hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He will never change because he is God. And let me tell you, there's no junior Holy Spirit. You need to raise your kids up knowing that he is the mighty rushing wind, the tongues of fire. He comes and things happen because he is divine. He is divine. Jesus knew their potential. Jesus knows your potential. Stop disqualifying yourself. Stop, young adults, stop disqualifying yourself. Seniors, stop disqualifying yourself. I see some gray heads over there. Stop disqualifying yourself. This morning at New May East, 2:00 this morning, God said to me, you need to pray for your seniors. We line them up. My gosh. I'm not kidding. Hey, you young ones, you're checking this out? They have the fire. They have the fire. They have the fire. They know. Holy Spirit, powerful, powerful. Don't disqualify yourself. Stop disqualifying yourself. All you need to do is be willing and obedient. You see, discipleship, growing in your sonship isn't difficult. It's just obedience to Holy Spirit. Obedience to Holy Spirit. Obedience to Holy Spirit. Jesus said, come follow me. What does follow take? Follow takes, I'm here. Let's say Dave Hickey says, come follow me. I have to, number one, move. And then if Hickey decides he's going to go that way, I've got to be obedient. Go that way. And then when Hickey jumps off the cliff, I've got to take the step of faith. What am I saying? To follow Jesus means you have to move, you have to be obedient, and you have to step out in faith. Are we following Jesus? Or are we comfortable? We have to be obedient. Obedience is important. And you know what? He will even help you in your obedience. How? About empowering you. Here comes Acts. Everybody wants Acts. Acts 1:8. But you will see what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes. Everybody say, power. There we go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What did the disciples do before they went out? They were told to go to the room, shut the doors, sit down, and wait. They listened. They waited. They were told to wait. They waited. Why did Jesus tell them to wait? Because he knew that they needed power. He knew it. They did not just need enthusiasm. They didn't need head knowledge. They needed Holy Spirit power. That word in the Bible is dunamis. It means miraculous power or divine enablement. Write that one down. Divine enablement. In other words, dunamis refers to the supernatural ability or enabling of God to do what we cannot do on our own. Let that one sink in. You see, the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit enables us to live boldly. The empowering presence of the Holy Spirit enables us to walk boldly as disciples. The enabling power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit helps us make disciples once we are moving. So when Jesus said, you will receive power, you will receive dunamis, he was promising that the Holy Spirit would fill the disciples with a divine capacity to do what he had called them to do. What has God called us to do? Be his sons and his daughters. Simples. Because when we're his sons and daughters, what you behold, you become. Who you behold, you become. The rest is easy. We are empowered to be sons and daughters. The Helper is with us. The Helper is with us. But again, the disciples were ordinary people. We've got a bunch of ordinary people sitting here. Great example of an ordinary dude is Peter. Peter walks with Jesus for 3 years. How good would it be to have Jesus in person? Huh? In person. You eat, drinking coffee with him, fishing with him, fishy eating. In person. Peter had that privilege, 3 years. And then Peter walks on the water. I mean, serious? But Peter, when the going got tough and the pressure got going, he folded like a little glove and he denies Jesus 3 times. He walks 3 years, he denies him three times. He denies Jesus. I'm like, I don't think there's anything greater than denying Jesus. Seriously. But, everybody say but. There's a good point here. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit releases divine power. And it's not John the beloved disciple. It's not Matthew the tax collector. It is Peter. Peter the denier that God uses so mightily and touches so mightily that when he stands up and he preaches the first sermon, 3,000 people are added to the kingdom. 3,000 people. Peter is Peter. Peter is the denier. Peter is the one that, he stuffed up big time. But yet God uses him. And 3,000, if you look around this room, this is about 900 seats. That is 3 times these amount of seats right here. A lot of people. Peter, the denier. What am I saying? What's my point? God in his goodness still blessed and used Peter even though he stuffed up. God wants to use you, my friend. My brother, my sister, God wants to use you even though, doesn't matter what your background is, he still wants to use you. That's why he has sent his helper for you, to be with you. That is how come he has empowered you. Because if in Peter's case, what changed? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. That was it. That's the only thing that changed. The dunamis came. You see, Jesus did not say, try a little harder. He didn't say, try it. He said, you will receive dunamis. You will receive dunamis. You see, discipleship requires power. Power to speak when it's uncomfortable. Power to love when it's hard. Power to obey when it costs something. Power to persevere and get over that mountain you are facing. The good news is you have it. You have the power. You have that divine power because you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait to feel ready. That's a mistake.
Oh, I don't feel it yet. I don't know if I can do it yet, you know?
No. Stop trying to feel. You see, the Holy Spirit gives you what you need in the moment to be ready. In the moment, to be ready. He's there. You got to trust that when you take that step, he is with you. You got to trust that when you open your mouth, he will fill it. You got to trust when you move, he will guide you. He will guide you. And this is important because in Galatians 5:25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step means to actively follow the Holy Spirit's lead in every part of your life, moment by moment, decision by decision. Keep in step means you don't move ahead. You don't lag behind. You move when he moves. You stop when he stops. You adjust and redirect when he redirects. It's a continual. This is where Holy Spirit's going. This is where I'm going. You see, we think we can do it in our own strength. You're bluffing yourself. You can't. Especially not in today. Today's world. Holy Spirit comes. He nudges you. He speaks. He whispers. And we follow. You know, when you get that text, when you get that prompting, text that person. When you get that prompting, pray for that colleague. When you're in the LD checkout, and there's a person in front of you, and you get that prompting, pay for those groceries. Holy Spirit will prompt you. Now, do I always get it right? Nope. Just 2 weeks ago, went over to Woolies. It was freezing cold. It was -1 degrees. Early morning, had to go to Woolies, get coffee beans. Office did not have coffee beans. Bad. I stop and I get out, and there's this homeless guy lying across. He's got a shirt that's pulled up this far. His back is showing. He's got a pair of shorts. He's got a little jacket that he's pulled over. And I get this prompting, and I know the voice of God, to buy a blanket. I walk into Woolies, and as I walk in, you know those things that swing open? To my right, all the blankets. I'm sad to let you know I didn't buy a blanket. I was going for coffee. I know where the coffee is. I've been there a couple of times. But I walked through the aisles reasoning why I shouldn't buy a blanket. And the reasoning was this: oh, well, then I'm going to encourage him to sleep in front of Woolies, and you know, that could be awkward. And I didn't buy him a blanket. I went, climbed in my car with a bag of beans, and as I sat in my car, I still saw him, and I drove away. But I'm here to tell you, Holy Spirit didn't go, oh, well, you stuffed up. I'm going to leave you now. No. You know what happened this morning? I told the story at East. Got this young guy come in. He says, oh, Pastor JJ, I just want to share something. We've got a not-for-profit company. And he points on his puffer. Guess what it said? Blankets 300. I'm going, you are kidding me, God. Seriously. Blankets. So tell me more. He goes, if you want to come out with me, we can go out. We go out every week and give blankets. How good is God? He gives me another opportunity. But even a better opportunity. Because we start talking. And I'm like, how can we get involved? Can we get involved? Can we do a blanket drive? He goes, yeah, you can. Okay. I've nearly been here for 2 years and I didn't even know this. He goes, well, this was the right moment. How good is God? See, Holy Spirit, I did go and I apologized. I'm like, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. He forgave me, but he's given me another opportunity and an even better opportunity to make a difference. This is the Holy Spirit that you and I have. This is the God that you and I serve. Romans 8:14 says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So we have to be in step with the Holy Spirit. We have to be in sync with the Holy Spirit. If you one beat out, you're not in sync. Like if these guys who are here, if Jay starts playing his drums differently to what Destiny plays the bass, it's not going to sound nice. But when they're in sync, it's beautiful. When you dance and you're not in sync with your partner, what do? You step on toes. When you're not in sync with the Holy Spirit, you're stepping on toes, falling over your own feet. Remember, he's your guide and he is your helper. So I've got a practical challenge. Have we got that on the board? Practical challenge for you. 3 things you need to do for this next week. In the morning, you surrender. You say, Holy Spirit, I give you my day. Midday, you check in again. You say, what are you saying right now, Holy Spirit? And then in the evening, you reflect and say, where did I follow you? And where did I hesitate? Where did I hesitate? You know the answer I got after that Willie's thing. Hey, where did I hesitate, God? Oh, okay, I know I hesitated there. So today, when the team are going to be up, it's great, Destiny. We're going to sing a song. Show me your face, Lord. Today, we're going to do ministry a little bit different. I don't know how desperate you are, how drunk you are, but you're going to be drunk after this. How desperate are you for the presence of God? How desperate are you for Him to reveal His face to you? How desperate are you? He will meet you where you are. There's some of you today, you need a fresh, I want to call it infusion. A fresh infusion. God's just showing me a tea bag. A tea bag in a box means absolutely nothing. But a tea bag in hot water transforms into something that is likable by many. It's time for you to be infused in His presence. It's time for you to be infused so that He has planted in you for others. You see, because this life is not about yourself. It's not about you. This is about those around you. This is about the community out there that still does not know Jesus. That's why you're empowered. That's why the helper is with you. That's why the guide, Jesus gave the guide, because He didn't say, oh, so that we can have glory meetings and just glory, glory. No. So that you can be infused to change the community. There's how many seats in this place? They should all be full. Because you are a disciple and you are discipling others. Discipleship is not an option. It's one of our core values. Making disciples is not an option. It's not an option. It's important.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.